Well, thanks for having me, and pretty excited to be up here. And I haven't been in the cell in like 4 years.
Yeah, it was great to see you.
I still am not sure if I would have bought American Pharoah if I would have been here. Apparently, every genius in the world let them go by. So that's what's great about our business is that nobody knows for sure. So
yeah, well, it's a situation where you take your best shot, and you're very good at it. I mean, you've bought a lot of stakes winners over the years, so I'm not so sure you wouldn't have bought them if you were here for the sale.
Well, you know, having Pioneer the Now, he was a very good horse, and he was just very, I heard a lot of good things about Pioneer the babies, because I have a couple breeding rights into them, so they were trying to buy my. When they try to buy your breeding right, that's a good sign. That means the baby. Everybody wants to get ahead of business, so. So I thought, well, I'd ask Mr. Zion. He goes, says, no, they look good. Do not sell.
Good advice.
Oh, that's great.
I almost sold before the Arkansas Derby one of them. And it was like, oh, I'm better. And Jill says, you know what? Why don't you just ride it out? You know, you've been here this far, so I'm glad I did.
That's great. I heard a lot of buzz about another horse that you trained, the Factor, that his babies are looking pretty good. Have you taken a look at any of those?
Yeah, there's a few up here, and they look pretty good. You know, he was a really good horse, and he was like a freaky kind of sprinter. So there's no reason for him not to be a sire. He's by Warfront, he's a beautiful made horse, and so it's exciting when you have a horse. I've had a lot of good horses that were good race horses, but they didn't pan out as successful as sires. But you can't make them. You can't stop them. Either are or not.
Yeah, a lot of people probably wouldn't have thought that Pioneer of the Nile would be doing what he was doing. I mean,
I agree, because he was, he was nice, but it was like, he was not, he was steady, but he's out of the mare, Star Goshen. She was a freak. She was a really fast horse. Matter of fact, I was talking to Gary Bazans. He's the one that ran her, and they were talking about she's a Lord at War, and that's, they're pretty good, war emblem out of Lord at War mare, so Lord at War is a really good foundation for the dams, and so I think a lot of it comes from him. And Empire Maker, he was no slouch.
No,
not at all.
It's pretty nice top and bottom.
The other horse we're hearing a lot about, and his first yearlings are here as well, is Bodemeister. And, boy, he has just been spectacular. His first yearling sold very well down in Faith Dip in July.
Yeah, Bodie. My son Bodie, we're going to hear a lot of Bodie this, Bodie that, so you better get ready. So, but, it's exciting. You hope that they are, they come through. It's amazing. Achman Zayat, the stallions that he's made, he's had so many. He had Bodie Meister, like Painter. I really like Painter. Painter was always like, there was something about him. He was my favorite, and so he was so tough. But hopefully, I heard a lot of good things about him. So this is a game of hope.
It's pretty nice to have all those stallion seasons in your back pocket. You don't have to work too hard to keep that up.
Well, it's like it's a trainer's retirement program.
Yeah.
So we count on him, and I'm lucky that my clients and Ogmanzai has been really kind to me. American Pharoah, it's like the gift that keeps giving, so it's going to be exciting with him. But, you just don't know who's going to be a sire.
Do you find yourself paying more attention to the offspring of horses that you trained, like the Factor, like Bodie Meister, when you come to these sales, Bob?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I bought Midnight Lucky. She's the first year of Midnight Lou. She was in this sale here, she was beautiful feeling. She was related to Hooked on a Feeling, which we had. But I always want to make sure I look at every sire that I've had, I make sure I look at them, hoping maybe, so it's one of those things where, we're cheerleaders. We're always cheering. We want to see a good horse. It doesn't matter who trains it. When I see a Midnight Loot Run or any Pioneer of the Now, we're always, you cheer for it.
Does it give you a little extra insight when you've trained the sire, or maybe in some cases, in your case, the sire and the dam?
You know what? You think so, but a lot of times they don't they don't look like their sire or whatever. They're different, like Real Quiet. The only reason about Midnight Loop, I was watching every Real Quiet that sold and sell. And I saw him off in the video. I loved the way he looked. And they had bought him back, so then I bought him the next day. So, just, you know, sometimes you have to be lucky.
What do you like to see in a yearling?
Well, I think I want to see a horse that's a little bit, you know, athleticism. I think our breeding is so, like, different and watered down now because all the good mares have left. So you see a lot of these different, you know, their speed, but you still want to stick to speed. You know, the horses that look like, you know, I don't want any good four-year-olds, you know. pass me to win, you know. It's like, you can't go wrong with speed.
Yeah, it's I think Andy Beyer called it the universal track bias. If you've got speed, you get a big edge.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we were down at the Haskell a couple of weeks ago and watched that Tour de Force by American Pharoah. You said afterwards you were maybe more nervous for that race than any of the others. How come?
Oh, I was so nervous. You know what? I got there and everybody's like, you know, Josiah, and he had 146 friends there.
And
he was washing out badly. And so he says, "You don't understand. We have to win this race." I go, "How about the last one?" You know, so, but you don't understand. All my friends are here, you know. So, so I can feel that pressure, you know, when everybody, when the party gets big like that, you know, like when my family shows up, it's like everybody's like, you start feeling the heat. So, I had the governor coming in for it. But, you know, we got to hang out with Bill Murray for a little bit, which is pretty cool.
How cool was that?
And his riders up was, that was epic.
Yeah, I
love that, you know, because yeah. I was talking to him right before, and I asked him, are you working on your little riders up for you? Oh, yeah. He said, matter of fact, I went back and watched all their, you know, he did his homework. But he was there with his son, Lincoln, nice kid. And so it was really, you know, and the fans there at Monmouth Park, you know, you could tell they couldn't get enough of the horse. It's so funny that when the horse came in, I wasn't sure. I saw the horses come in. I said, where is he? I don't hear anything. But everybody was quiet because they all have their videoing with their
yes.
phones.
Mm-hmm.
He gets really quiet when he comes in. So, which is a good thing, you know, but because he can get, as you saw a couple days before, he spooked from some guy running his flip-flops behind him or something. Like so. Because he is very sensitive to sound. That's why he sort of lost it a little bit in the walking up to the Derby. People were running around him. He doesn't like that.
You know? Yeah.
So, but since then, he's been a real cool customer.
He was so cool in the paddock. I mean, he was walking around there like Old Blue. He's like, nothing really bothers him. He's such a cool horse.
Well, the thing is, he's got the earplug, see? But if you take him out, you know, he gets pretty aggressive. But if the lungs are in, he's real quiet. So sometimes, like, my wife Jill said, well, how does he look? Well, really cool and quiet, but you know, you want to see a little bit more. That's him. But if you took the earplugs out, but then I was watching him come up to the gate, and that's when he starts to blow up. And and whenever he just comes up there, before he goes in, he always looks up at the, he stops and looks at the around the grandstand, and he just has a presence, you know, to him. But he has really spoiled us, you know. He's taken us to a different level. And, you know, we're going to have to need some serious group therapy when he's gone. Like group, you know, to talk, you know, like, you know, it's going to be like, it's going to be really sad to see him leave.
Yeah. How about little Bodie? How's he going to handle it? Has he been attached
you know,
to him?
This horse has really, really got him into racing. You know, he really, I can see he's getting the bug now, which I don't know if it's a good thing. But once he gets in your system, you're a lifer. But he really, he's grown up a lot this last, you know, 4 or 5 months. And he's acting totally, like he gets really nervous. I mean, he's really nervous. And but afterwards, you can tell that he gets on the, he was telling me after the Derby, all the horses that won the Derby and the Triple Crown, and he gets on YouTube now and he's checking everything out and he's getting stats, he's getting everything, and so he realizes that, you know, after going through Bodemeister, those beats were really hard on him. They scarred him a little bit. So So then when Painter came along, and I remember he won the Haskell, he said, you know, Dad, why don't you name that one Bodie Meister? You know, so he's better. But he's grown up a lot, and you know, he basically grown up on television there watching him grow up. But you know, I'm just sad that, you know, my parents turned around, because they used to adore him. My mother just loved seeing him. That's why, you know, Jill said, you know, you're putting him on television too much. It's not that I was trying to just have him on. My mother wanted to see him, because they were down in Arizona, and so if I didn't have him on there, she'd say, I didn't see my baby, why don't you put him on there? So
yeah,
and that's why it's been very emotional, because I think about them, you know, that they would have loved to enjoy this, you know, with me. So it's too bad they weren't here.
Yeah. Well, he's not only made Bodie a fan, but I think he's made a legion of people fans. So many people talk to us about American Pharoah, and so many people say, oh, you guys are so lucky that you've been able to see all of his races. And, you know, it is a privilege, and it is, you know, he's touched millions and millions of people all over the world. It's really fantastic. And you've done such a great job of representing our business and the horse.
Well, I thank you, but you know, it's just, I think he's really, this horse made me like, I think it made me really appreciate, you know, when you go through all those Triple Crown losses and those beats, nobody's had worse beats than Bob Backer, right? I've been lucky, I've had some good wins, but I've had some really bad beats. So that 96 Derby Cavaneer was a bad beat.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
And it's funny that I almost didn't run him. I got down on him because Jude, he beat me in a cowbred race.
I beat him twice.
Yeah, and I go,
that's
like,
your claim to fame.
Claim to fame, yeah.
And I thought, you know, I thought he was better than that, you know? But Jude had a really good horse.
That horse that I had ready to order, he was a really, really good, horse. He might have been the best horse I ever trained. I was really proud of him. But I was so sad when Cavaneer got beat. I really wanted him to win, because that would have made my claim to fame even bigger. But Cavaneer ran so good that day. Win, lose, or draw, I mean, it was a great performance.
I was hoping just to light the board that day. And then when he made the lead, I was like, oh, like, you know, this is not happening. And then when I thought he'd won. I still thought he'd hung on and won, because my seats were so bad, you know, it was way before the wire. And so I knew what it felt like to win the Derby for about 10 minutes before they hung. That's the longest road ever. And so when they hung it up, he was like, wow, I'll never get another chance like that. Like, this is it. And so and then I got fortunate. I just bought Silver Charm. I think everything happened for a reason. And I think the Lord wanted me to just suffer, and you know, and before I won the Triple Crown or something, I don't know what. You know, I think everything happened for a reason.
Why do you think he gave you American Pharoah?
Well, look at Ahmed Zayat. He ran third in the second in the Kentucky Derby three times. We were second in the Triple Crown that one year. Bodie Meister and Painter. We won the second Triple Crown for second. So I think it's just. This horse has made me very spiritual. I just feel that maybe my parents or somebody up there, I had help, you know, but I didn't do it on my own.
Well, he's a horse that I think will continue to perform at a top level. I saw a little video of him galloping.
They're giving these horses away. Look at that, 425.
Oh, there's a horse sale going on.
Bottom fishing. Do you have anything in the first five or six hip numbers you're looking at?
Man.
We've just kept you from bidding.
Phasic is
not going to like that.
Yeah, that's right, too. Yeah, Phasic's not going to be happy about that.
But our listeners sure are.
Yeah. Well, you know,
spend some time with you.
And the other thing that's been kicked around, so ever since the Haskell, right, all we've been hearing is, where does he run next? Where does he run next? When do you think you'll have all that sorted out, Bob?
Well, if you would have asked me when he came back Monday afternoon, like 7 o'clock, we were waiting for him. You could tell he had a trip. He was tired and quiet. So I gave him a few days, but all of a sudden he started perking up. And before I came out here, I brought him out of the stall and to look at him. After, in the morning, there's always, You have to wait for everybody to leave because we got lurkers all day long. You know? Lurking
and looming.
Yeah. They want to get a shot of them. They want to see them, you know, which is great. You know, we let people, but I have to keep it really, you know, a lot of people come to see them, but I can't let them be seen too much because it keeps them out of the feed tub. Otherwise, he wants a carrot when you go up there. He wants a carrot. So he'll hang out there waiting when he sees people. He won't eat because he wants to be petted and stuff. But he just looks like really healthy. I keep waiting for his, you know, the hair usually turns and they get that. But he's just shining and like, please give me an excuse not to even think about the Traver, you know. And I was there with my wife Jill, and she's always saying, well, what do you think? I said, I don't know, I just gotta wait for him. But he has to, if he's gonna breathe soon, but if he's breathing and looks as strong as, you know, we have Martin Garcia who gets on him, he knows. Now, he told me like he's getting stronger and getting better. He thought he was doing better for this race than he was for all of them, you know. But and you can tell he's starting to, he never used to play around, and now he's playing around. He never did that during the Triple Crown. He was just, I think we just kept him exhausted. He didn't have a chance, you know. Dude, you have to run now. You know, so that little break really helped him out a little bit. So you know, I know it's going to be difficult up here if I ship him back again. It's a lot of, you know, it's sort of, if you were to run in the Traverse, then it's like, you know, the spacing, you know, the Philadelphia would have been more of a spacing, whatever, so that would rule that out. But I just don't know. We're letting the horse sort of dictate the, but it's a lot of pressure. I'm getting a lot, you know, from outside. Oh, yeah. So it's like I have to stay tuned and not let, you know, let the horse talk me into it.
Right. And let all the outside influences go by the wayside.
I try not to. If I just say, well, we're thinking about it, boom, Baffert says it's going.
Yeah.
Like today.
Yeah.
I went to the backside to see John Terranova at this barn.
He's red hot right now.
Oh, no, he's doing great. He's great. Yeah. He's a good little trainer. And so we're back there. I said, John, I just want to see the barn. You know, I haven't been up here in a few years, so they're in a different barn. He's got a great barn, so I was doing a recon. Okay, if I do bring him up, just in case, okay, we'll put him here and there. We're looking at the paths, at the track, because there's going to be a lot of people, you know. And so,
you need a couple Judefeld saddle towels?
I think so.
Bob used to borrow my saddle towels to work horses out of the gate because nobody would go with a Baffert horse. So he asked me one day at Clocker's Corner, he said, can I borrow a couple of your saddle towels? He said, I can't get any company out of the gate, but I know they won't mind working with a Judefeld horse. So my brother took him over a couple of saddle towels so he could get some company out of it.
but it's... If he does, I know it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of pressure. Yeah. I remember bringing a Point Given up here, and there was a lot of pressure. So it's something that it'd be great if the weather could stay like this. This weather,
perfect.
It's incredible.
It's been,
yeah,
it's been like this the entire meet.
I'm telling you, it's like, you know, it's like Del Mar.
Yeah.
Until. But I'm going to just, you know, we're still, like I said, I feel more pressure on this horse. Before, walking up for the Triple Crown, you're just hoping. And everything's going well. Let's hope that we get it done. And after that, now it's like, you know, like they say, you know, winning or misery. So it's like, you know, I just don't want to mess it up. You know, I don't want to be the one, you know. And winning after the Triple Crown was very important to me because I did not want to be on that list that he got beat.
Yeah, that's a brutal list, isn't it?
Right.
Brutal list.
It's horrible.
That's what I was thinking about all week leading up to the Haskell. Was like, God, I want this horse to win so that he's not on that list.
Yeah.
But I think the reason it was such brutal, because the temptation of turning around and running your horse when people are just pressuring you. In those days, like, there wasn't, you know, they didn't run for, like, look at Seattle Slough. What did you run for? Was it 100,000 or whatever?
Right.
It wasn't like, you know, now it's like, you know, a million, you know, like nothing, you know.
1.6, 1.75, yeah.
So, but it was, I was a little bit nervous. I was really, really nervous right before, you know. But once I saw him in the warm up, they showed him going to the gate. He was all puffed up, and I thought, you know, just get away from the gate, clean, get him running. And I knew competitive edge was going to be really tough to early. So that he had me really. You got to always watch out for those Pletcher horses. They're fast.
Yeah. And you had a perfect trip. I mean, you had to be really happy where Victor was all the way.
Yeah, I was worried about the little gray horse that he might, you know, like, don't let him get in front of you and, you know, get you in a pinch. But Victor rides his horse with so much confidence that I can tell Victor during this whole, when he comes out to the paddock, even to ride him in the Triple Crown, I kept telling him, look at him. Really, there's nothing for you to be nervous about. If I don't have him ready, it doesn't matter how you ride him. I think he's ready, he looks sharp, and when he got on him in the paddock, he looked down when he felt got on him, he looked up at him and he goes, hey, I can feel, they know when they get on him, they go, oh, wait a minute, you know, like, hey, boy, wake up, but they can tell, but he's just always been, but in the paddock with his, if you take those earplugs out, he's a different animal. He's
really.
Oh yeah, he's like. He's always like.
Is he training him too?
He doesn't leave the stall without him in there. He's just a very. He'll come out prancing if you don't have him on. But if you put him in, he's like quiet. He's just like focused and. But he's such a kind, sweet animal that everybody just can't believe how sweet he is.
Well, I can tell you this, as good as American Pharoah looked in the paddock before the Haskell, I think you might have won Best Turned Out Award. That suit, snazzy. Looked good.
Oh, you like that? That was my Bichon.
I like that.
I actually wanted to wear it for the Triple Crown, but it wasn't ready. So
it was sharp.
It was sharp, and it was like, and the Bichon is always during Beverly Hills, and so the Prince Ahmed, the Thoroughbred Corp, he's the one that sent me over there. It's one of those, you know, by appointment only to go in there.
Sure.
And when he first sent me in there, he says, go over there. I ordered a bunch of stuff for you. And when Bichon, he was great. When he was alive, he sent me in there and he's telling me this. And I said, no, I don't like that. And he says, I can't believe it. Here, I came in here, I dress kings and princes and billionaires, and they send me Crocodile Dundee. I forget that. And Jill was sitting there going, zip it, Bob, zip it. Listen to the man.
You know, so. Oh, that's outstanding. So, well, Bob, look, all the best here at the sale, all the best at American Pharoah, and wherever we see you again, we're going to be at Pacific Classic. I know he's not going there, but we'll get a chance to come out and say hello to you out there, and then we'll see where things go from there.
All right, come by and see the big horse.
Yeah, I give Stoley, the only Triple Crown winner that I haven't met since I've been alive. I fed Secretary of Grass at Claiborne Farm. I was in a firm stall, right? I was with Seattle Slough at Hillendale, and I haven't met American Pharoah yet, so I got to get that off my bucket list.
Yeah, I never I saw Seattle Slough and Secretariat. I never saw a firm, but to be in the same group as them, it's still like, it's hard to believe, like, is he that good maybe, or, you know, so, I don't know, I guess.
He's awesome, and you've done an outstanding job.
Yeah.
Outstanding job.
You guys do an outstanding job when you've got your fan base, and, I'm going to go try to pick up one of these horses, these bargain prices.
Yeah.
Every time
I
look up, it says 400, 450.
You're missing out.
I know you got a guy that can write the check, so just find the right one.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Hall of Famer Bob Baffert here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.